Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Empower Radio. And boy, what a time for us to gather together in Earth Wisdom Circles. It is such an opportunity to reach out beyond our physical limitations, and in this case, to connect all the way from Michigan to California, to Arizona, to around the world, whoever is listening, wherever they might be. Today, my guest is a returning guest, Ginny Jablonski, and we are going to be talking about the amazing connections that Ginny has so beautifully expressed and shared with me, and again in the last show, 3 weeks ago, I believe it was, about her ability to connect with the living world, meaning the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom. So welcome back to the show, Ginny.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you. So let's just dive right into, you know, what have you found, Ginny, as, you know, across the globe, we're being given the opportunity to cocoon, to really go within ourselves, to literally make the circle around us smaller, even as the circle is expanding. So I think what is so beautiful is we're being given the opportunity to remember who we are, to experience who we are, to face our fears, to experience life joyfully. And you, in particular, Ginny, with the ability to connect with the animal kingdom that in the indigenous world is called sweet medicine. Can you explain a bit about yourself again for those who haven't heard the first interview and your connection to the animal kingdom?
Sure, thank you. At the turn of the millennium, I was employed as a diplomatic protection agent, and I became very ill, not understanding what that meant from a spiritual level. I was very much living in the third dimension. I participated with the world on a very superficial level, and I had to retire, and my health declined over many years, and eventually in 2012, I experienced a near-death experience, having been on opioids for 4 years. That information and many other interviews can be found on my website, which we can talk about later if anyone is interested in that. But what happened following my near-death experience is that I had a profound connection to what some people call the causal realms, or our beings of light on the other side of the veil. And it, as you can imagine, it was quite shocking to me. I had been a horse person. I had rescued horses for about the previous 13 to 15 months prior to my near-death experience. I wasn't able to own my own horses anymore due to being very weak. And I placed one of my horses in a sanctuary. So I volunteered at that sanctuary as long as I had any energy in my body. And so I was surrounded by animals as my health was declining. And there was a lot going on at a non-physical spiritual level that I wasn't aware of until long after my near-death experience. That sent me on a journey. Basically, I was compelled not to die again. I wanted to live. I had one singular focus, and that was to get off of medication and to heal myself, to get my life back. I had no idea the enormity of the journey that I was facing. And to be honest, had I known all that I would endure and experience on the journey, I don't know that I would have willingly signed up for it. Yeah. What I did was I experienced many healing modalities, both from an alternative medicine perspective to an energetic medicine perspective and beyond. I was able to communicate with people who had crossed over, plants and animals, and that made me ask why and what does it mean and how does it work. And like a lot of near-death experiencers, I questioned why me? And that set me on a spiritual journey as well as a healing journey. And I think by design, by grand design of the universe, of our ancestors, I was sent down many challenging roads. And what I call, I like to say, I spent a lot more time in the ditch than on the actual path, on the actual road. Mm. And to me, that was a learning experience. I learned what worked, what didn't work. I experienced many different people from many different cultures representing many different religions from and indigenous perspectives from South America to Australia to the United States and Canada and to Europe. And it set me on an amazing path of discovery. And all the while, the animals were apparently guiding me on this journey that eventually led me to working with traumatized animals. And I can do that with some integrity because as a traumatized person, I healed myself on my journey. Now, that is not to say I'm 100% healed and I'm standing at the top of the mountain and I'm all good and I'm just here to tell y'all what it's about. That's not true. I'm still on my journey. But I am in a remarkable place of being able to be clear enough to provide messages from the other side at many different levels.
Jenny, that is so beautiful. And I want to thank you for that explanation, because I think what is so integral to the work that you're doing is you're helping individuals, because of your own experience, reconnect as we had many, many centuries ago, more fully as human beings with that which supports our life. We have so been taught through culture, through religion, through many, many things. We have narrowed our vision. And when we narrow our vision, that means we shut off our senses, literally our ability to reason and our senses, our sight, our hearing, our vision, our physical ability to resonate. And what is so beautiful about what you're explaining, Jenny, is it's time for us to reconnect with all of life, all of life. And we cannot forget that we cannot live without the animal kingdom. We cannot live without the plant kingdom. We cannot live without the water and the air. And you so eloquently sharing your experiences and helping others to share their experiences, you were born for this time. This is why you went through it all. So can you share some of the questions you had earlier today when we were speaking that maybe we can talk about? Some of the deep insights that the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom have asked you or shared with you.
Well, what's interesting is, as you said at the opening of the show, we all feel now compelled to help or heal or reach out, and we feel a sense of longing for community, and we know that something's missing, and not everyone is quite sure what that means. And as they say, sometimes in the horse world, there's 100 different ways to do something right with a horse. There are hundreds of different ways to go on a healing path. So I'm just giving my perspective and what I receive from the animals. And what I receive from the animals comes in two forms. Certainly, as many people share, the animals have messages of healing and wisdom. But there's another need that the animal kingdom has right now for themselves, and that is that they need to heal, because those in domestication, not everyone, but many of the animals in domestication have, like us, been separated from whatever you would like to call it, the all, our wisdom, our soul, the great spirit, nature. And that happens with the animals in the same way as it has happened to human. In my experience and in my observation, we become wounded, we become disappointed, we become angry, we become frustrated, we become traumatized, and it shuts down our heart. which in my perception is the gateway to the all, is the gateway to the Great Spirit. It's the gateway to the knowingness and the balance of the earth and our respect for community and all life. And the same has happened with animals. So when animals come to me, they will come in two different ways. One is as a message from, let's say, the soul family of the trees, or nature itself, or the council of animals, or just the council of dogs, whatever that might look like, but also on an individual basis, as complicated and traumatized as any person I have ever met, a horse or a dog or a rabbit or a deer might come forward in that same way, asking for healing, because they, many of them, have forgotten what we have forgotten, that the heart is the gateway to all of these answers, and that we must, if we want to heal everyone, if we want to heal the planet, we must turn inward ourselves and find that which is buried deep inside of us, whether it is cosmic or ancestral trauma that is being played off on the earth now, as many people say, micro reflecting macro, or if it is just experiences that we have had in our current life or even a past life that is creating patterns of belief, patterns of incarnation, patterns of thought that we can clear through our own inner work. And there are many ways to do that.
Can you share some of the experiences in particular? Maybe just, you know, talk about something that you have received from an animal, and maybe we can explore that a bit.
Yes. Do you have a preference as to a message from the soul group or?
No, I have no preference. Let's just begin whatever comes to you first.
One particular animal has been reaching out to me this morning, and I feel that it's important to share the story. Now, for the benefit of the audience, in telling the story, I'm going to tell you information about the dog up front. The way that I work is that I do not want to have any information about a person or an animal when I connect and I start to do the work. And the reason is simply this. Our human perception of an event or a trauma or the behavior of an animal is in most cases completely different from the animal's perspective of the event, the trauma, or their behavior.
That makes sense.
So when I spoke with this dog, I didn't know any of this, but I'm going to go ahead for the benefit of the audience and share. So the problems that the dog had were, it was very jealous, very clingy. It was the second dog in a household. And when it was on the owner's lap, it wouldn't even let the other dog in the house in the room. Sometimes when the dog was on the lap of the owner or her husband, the dog would spontaneously start to snarl aggressively at the owner or the husband. The dog would not let anyone approach it with a leash to connect a leash to the collar and some other random things. So what happened when I connected with the animal, and the reason I never ask, I don't even ask the breed, the sex at all, is when I close my eyes, oftentimes into a session will come a beautiful message from another animal that just wants to be heard real quick, whether it's an animal that has passed on from the other side, or maybe even a neighbor animal that they were kind to, or an animal that the parents had, etc. So I want to be able to say, I'm seeing a black horse or I'm seeing a white kitten. Does this mean anything to you? Rather than assume that it is their animal. Mm-hmm. So, and I will say to you that this was a little brown Chihuahua dog. So what came to me first was a very old Labrador mix with very, you know, frail looking with gray hair on its nose. And I said to the woman, beautiful woman, do you recognize this dog? No. Okay. Are you sure it's not your husband's dog from when he was a kid? No. Neighbors, parents. No, no, no. Never had a lab mix. Don't know who this dog is. The dog had the saddest, saddest eyes and was begging for help. And I said, well, this is the woman session. This is for the Chihuahua dog. What we'll do is we'll ask that dog to step aside. And if something doesn't come up in this session, I will address that dog privately later. So I checked in with the little Chihuahua dog, and I didn't know it was a Chihuahua at the time. And I said, what I normally do is I connect at the heart space. I say, you have the floor. You can say anything you would like to say, share anything you want. Here's my heart. This is, I'm hoping that you feel that this is a safe place to communicate. And the dog says to me, can you please help me wash my face? And the woman chuckled and said, oh, my husband washes her face every morning. How cute. And I have to be very careful not to listen to what the humans say. And I said, that's very nice. Let me ask the dog what she means. And I was shown an energetic outline of her body and a red dot on her nose. And I was shown that the red dot was the soul of the lab mix. And I said, okay. And I got full body chills as I have right now. And I immediately understood that there was another soul connected to the Chihuahua. And I was shown the snarling in the face intermittently. And when the dog would come into the loving energy field of another person, the lab mix would come forward asking for help, and the Chihuahua would get scared. It didn't know what to do. And so it snarled at the dog, which the people could not see. Does this make sense?
Yes. Yes. I'm following you.
So what I did then was I asked the lab mix, okay, please, you know, please come forward. I understand. I understand now this, you're part of this. Can you share with me why you are connected to this Chihuahua? And she said, I don't know what happened. Am I dead? You know, how did I just remember being sucked through a tunnel and now here I am on this dog? So what was shown to me is that she was an older horse who, pardon me, an older dog who had been euthanized by its owner, but wasn't really sick. The body wasn't really dying itself yet, although it was necessary to be euthanized. But the soul wasn't prepared, and the soul immediately, rather than having time to go off into the realm of what we might call heaven or the soul family, the dog was swept into the new experience with that original soul. And so what we were able to do is call forward the soul family of dog, the medicine dogs, the wisdom dogs, and have them come and help to escort that dog's soul away. And there were a few other things with the Chihuahua that came up, but it was very obvious that that is why the dog did not want to have someone approach their face, you know, with a leash or what have you. We talked about love and balance, and that she did not need to feel as if there was any competition for love in the household. And we had this a beautiful conversation. But I have found, Elaine, that animals, often even on a soul group basis, and I've heard this from dogs as well as horses, they have taken on, through domestication, through really entanglement with the karma of, you know, the last 2,000 years since the advent of agriculture and animals being used for agriculture on the planet, that their future is entangled with ours. And they have taken on some human belief systems and some human frailties, such as the need to be loved or fear. And oftentimes when an animal comes to me who doesn't present as a unique personality, but comes through as the soul family or collective, as some people say, I will often hear continuity of the species, continuity of the species, where many animals are afraid that their species may become extinct. And that translates oftentimes into animals carrying the burdens of humans, taking on emotions and energies of humans. And I can list, we could sit here and talk for hours about 8 or 10 really profound client experiences that I've had where the human, the client said to me, all of these energy things that you are bringing up for my animal seem to me like my issues. Is my animal taking on my issues? And
yes.
So we can certainly talk about this for a long time, but I'm trying to give you an overview. And unfortunately, a lot of people who do this work, work within a paradigm that is really connected to a certain religious perspective of animals or animal souls, et cetera, and it's very limiting, and they're not able to fully honor what the souls of the animals need. And so oftentimes animals will channel or communicate with the human only at the level that the human is able to receive. And that, I feel, is really limiting at this time on the planet, and we need to expand our consciousness.
So can I ask you, Jenny, what happened as a result of this, since you were able to identify what was happening with this little chihuahua? How was this resolved?
Well, I received 3 updates from the woman. I would be happy if you would like to read her her testimonial. She sent me 3 testimonials, 1 the next day, 1 3 days later, and 1 within a week. I don't know that we have time to read it, but basically what she said
is... Just give us a synopsis if you can.
Right. She's able to put the leash on, take her for a walk. She allows the other dog, meaning the dog, will not only allow the other dog in a room, but up on the couch next to the owner when she is on the owner's lap. So where before, if it was her time, she wouldn't even allow the other dog in the room. Now the dog is receiving love at the same time. No more snarling, no more confusing behavior. And I have to say, during the experience, the woman took pictures of the dog as the dog was reacting to what I was doing. And the dog went onto their flagstone patio and rubbed both sides of its face on the warm stone, which the woman had never seen the dog do before. And she had had the dog for over a year. And then the dog went and laid and rolled in the grass. And okay. And then the woman had asked me, can you please, she eats everything. She's always hungry. She eats everything. So I had a talk with her about appropriate things to eat. And as I was talking about appropriate things to eat, she said to me, well, you're going to have to give me more appropriate things to eat. And the woman took a picture. She had run into the house and brought her little bone forward, which was an appropriate thing to eat. It was really sweet.
Well, it sounds like what many people perhaps have forgotten. And as you just were saying, Jenny, because of domestication, animals have been entrained by human emotions. But what we have forgotten is that human emotions have been entrained. In other words, we have forgotten that our emotions are guidance for us. And perhaps there is a way that, you know, people can begin to understand that the animal kingdom is mirroring for us. Maybe, without, you know, presuming anything about this individual, just as a general thought, perhaps this woman was a bit territorial herself. Perhaps this woman was a little bit clingy herself. You know, so I'm not saying that that is the case with her, but maybe we can look at what is being mirrored with the animal kingdom to help us learn about ourselves.
That is the case sometimes. In this particular instance, it was not a reflection of the woman. It was more abandonment of the dog at the animal shelter, being taken away from its mother too soon, the fear of not being loved, the lack of understanding of what it meant to be a dog and manage her own energy in this life. But there is no way of telling, and there are no percentages that I can give you that, oh, it's 60% of the time they're mirroring us and teaching us lessons at 40. No, it is as unique as every human being.
Right. So as our time always goes very swiftly, we're going to continue in the next couple of weeks, not necessarily in consecutive weeks, but we will continue our conversations with Jenny Jablonski. And please go to her website, which is www.theheartofthehorse.com and begin to read some of her beautiful experiences with individuals and their animals, so that we can begin to broaden our view of ourselves, broaden our awareness of the impact as human beings we have made on this earth, and to have more compassion, perhaps just with this beautiful story that Jenny was sharing, to have more compassion for those that also feel, those that also have experiences that we have perhaps not been aware of or have chosen to dismiss. So, and we have a minute left. Jenny, is there any last thing you'd like to share about this experience?
I'd like to say that I do believe the answer for this dog and all of us, for all animals and all humans, is to heal our hearts. And as you pointed out so aptly, that it is our emotions, the emotions attached to our memories, our emotional response from childhood, our naive emotional response, or just the human condition of being defensive or feeling put upon or whatever that might be, we must go into our heart to reconnect. And it is the same for the animals.
Yes. And in the future, we'll talk about how that has impacted the plant kingdom. Because literally, you know, people that are vehemently against using animals for our nourishment, the indigenous elders say that, how do we know that a carrot doesn't cry when it's pulled from the land? How do we know that these things aren't willing to give up their life for us? There is so much to learn and so much judgment that we have to just let go, so that we can actually be a part of this world, this beautiful earth, the way Creator and Mother Life designed it to be, not how we wish for it to be. So that we can be all included in a collective hug of love, of life, of beauty, and appreciation. Thank you for what you do, Jenny, and thank you. And I look forward to continuing our conversations, as, you know, there's just so much for us all to learn about life and love and what that truly means.